in the later part of Advent, our focus is on the immediate preparation for the coming of the Redeemer. Of course, the joy of this time of year keeps building. We have the advantage of the Simbangabi Novena. If you're following the Novena, this is already the third day. If you're not following the Novena, this is also the second day of our second part of Advent. So it's December 17, now December 18. Yesterday we read the genealogy. Today we read about Joseph's experience of the pregnancy of his wife. The year of St. Joseph officially ended last week, remember. I was a bit saddened by the end of the year because I gained a lot from Joseph in this past year. I think we all together in the church learned a lot from him and learned to appreciate his greatness. But with the end of the year, we removed our image of St. Joseph, protector of the Anuim, which was there in the sanctuary. And then for a few days, we didn't have any image of St. Joseph. But now, here with the nativity scene, there's Joseph again. Joseph is a very prominent figure, especially in this week, the week right before, these 2 weeks, the week right before and right after Christmas. So today's Mass gives us an opportunity again to focus on Joseph in light of the theme that's chosen for today, the coming of our Redeemer. The theme, of course, is not only for today, the coming of our Redeemer. That's the theme of the whole of Advent. It's not exclusive to this day. But since this is the theme today, the coming of our Redeemer, and because the Gospel focuses on Joseph, we can ponder Joseph's experience of the coming of our Redeemer. And we can learn from him. We know the story. Joseph and Mary were betrothed. It was a stage in the Jewish tradition before a couple lived together. They were officially married, but they weren't living together. Part of the reason for this was betrothal took place when typically the bride was quite young and she wasn't ready to enter into her married life. So she stayed at home until she was a little bit older, and then at the right time, the couple could live together. So here's Mary is betrothed to Joseph. They do not yet live together. Joseph looking forward to his life with his wife, like any new husband, looking forward to life together, starting a family. Then Mary is found to be with child, it says here, through the Holy Spirit. That's not what Joseph understood. He knew that Mary was with child. He didn't know about the work of the Holy Spirit yet. Maybe he suspected it, we don't know, but he didn't know what was happening. And suddenly, his dreams, his hopes, his looking forward to life with Mary was thrown upside down. He wasn't the father. So what right does he have to take this woman and her child into his home? One of the things that we learned this year, at least I learned this year, was the different theories about what Joseph was doing when he decided to separate from Mary. Because of the word divorce, it sounds like he kicked her out. But we learned from Father Calloway in that book, there's another possibility, what they call the reverence theory, that out of reverence for the mystery taking place in Mary's life, Joseph removed himself from the picture. Lord, I am not worthy. That's the attitude of Joseph. I'm not worthy to participate in this great mystery which is unfolding in the life of my wife, so I will separate from her. In any case, this is an experience of the will of God breaking into Joseph's life in a way that was he had to experience as completely contradictory. We know it was great news, the best news, that the Savior had come. The Savior is already in the womb of his mother. That we think of as an occasion for great joy. But that's not how Joseph experienced it. And this is where I think we can take our first lesson from today's gospel, that it can happen that God can break into our life in a way that we experience it as a contradiction, as bad news. That's how it looks to us. That's how it can look to us. It doesn't look that way to God. God does not deliberately put bad news in anybody's life. God is always working for good. He's always working for our salvation and our eternal happiness. So when something breaks into our life, which strikes us as being very bad news, we can ask St. Joseph to teach us what to do. To step back, to pray, to try to discern the best response without doubting the goodness of God. Okay, so that's the first thing. Sometimes what looks like bad news is actually good news. Or what looks like bad news to us is a step of God bringing about his plan. Okay, Joseph, in order to deal with this bad news, makes this decision to separate from Mary. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. God intervened in the life of Mary. Joseph backs off. God intervenes in the life of Joseph and through the sending of the angel and reveals to him the fuller picture. This is not something that you're supposed to back off from. This is a mystery being entrusted to you, Joseph. This child is conceived by the Holy Spirit, and you're supposed to be the one to name him Jesus, take your wife into your home, and raise this son of Mary. So it was, a reversal. Here's Joseph looking forward to life with Mary. Suddenly he can't live with her. Now the angel says, no, you have to live with her. This is the will of God. Joseph responds to this message with complete trust in God, complete faith, perfect obedience. Again, this is a lesson. First lesson is sometimes when bad news breaks into our life, it's actually God working out something good and we can't tell. Second lesson here is that when we know the will of God, accept it with obedient faith. It doesn't mean we have to understand it. It doesn't mean we have to like it. It doesn't mean we have to have anything else in our mind. But when God's will is known to us, the right response is obedient faith. And we learn this from Joseph. He doesn't say anything. At least we don't have anything recorded. He doesn't question. He doesn't protest. He doesn't hesitate. He wakes up and he does what he's told. It's the beautiful. This is where Joseph's greatness is most clearly on display in the scriptures, in this gospel. The greatness of his faith, the greatness of his righteousness or justice, the greatness of his obedience, his humility, it comes out right here. He finds out from the angel the will of God, and he does it. What the angel told him is that he should name the child Jesus because he, Jesus, will save his people from their sins. That's the theme here, the coming of our Redeemer, or the advent of our Redeemer. What does a Redeemer do? He saves his people from their sins. It's the name of Jesus. God saves. Here's a Savior. So when Joseph obeys the will of God, he participates in God's plan to save his people. He participates in the mission of the Redeemer. And this is the way it always is when we are challenged to make an act of obedient faith. When we say yes to God, when we are obedient in faith to God, we participate in his work of redemption. Not that we understand how it works or what our place is exactly, but we become a participant. We learn this from Joseph. Now, it says here that all this took place to fulfill what God had said through the prophet, way back to the prophet Isaiah, about the virgin being with child. I don't know if Joseph thought of that at the time. It doesn't say that the angel told him that. It says that this is to fulfill. So this is Matthew telling us that this is a fulfillment of the prophecy. But at some point, For sure, Joseph realized that this prophecy from Isaiah, because he knew the scriptures, that was being fulfilled in the virgin who happens to be his own wife. God's promises are fulfilled, and we see them fulfilled when we obey. We have to obey first. We have to say yes first. We don't see it beforehand, otherwise it's not faith. No, we are given an insight into the will of God, and we're called to, with all our best ability, say yes and obey. And as we do that, then we start to see what God was doing all along, what he promised, and how he's fulfilling his promises. That's what Joseph experiences. He experiences that the promise of the coming of a Redeemer, an ancient promise, was fulfilled in a way that he experienced in darkness, in contradiction. But when he said yes to it, it became a brilliant light in his own home. The coming of the Redeemer came into his own family first. So as we prepare for Christmas, we're being taught, especially today, to take on the attitude, the lessons of St. Joseph, to be just, meaning to follow the will of God as best we understand it, and when he gives us more light, to be willing to change our minds, change direction in order to be obedient. And when we're obedient, we participate in the coming of the Redeemer. We welcome the Redeemer into our own life, into our own family, into our own household. That's where God wants to come. That's where he wants to reign. So let us be like Joseph, like Mary, ready to welcome the coming of our Redeemer.